Joining me in the studio, Graham Shapiro, Kickstart 101. Graham, how was your Rosh Hashanah?
It was really good. You know, davening was really, really long. It was really, really hot. So.
Oh, gosh. Do you not have air conditioning going?
No, we do, but...
But it's never right, is it?
Yeah, it works well if there's only about 10 people in shul.
Mm. Or if it works, then it works too well, and then people complain, generally the women.
Exactly.
Women are definitely colder than men. Have you noticed that in shul?
I have.
Sasha, don't get involved.
It's got nothing to do with the size of...
I'm looking at Graham, and I'm already feeling... That energy.
You're feeling the cool.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because she's colder then.
Right, exactly. No.
I am. I get very cold very often. And I'm trying to remember now. There's something about baking, how men and women differ in terms of baking and why they should roll. I can't remember. I think men actually might be cooler, and that's why they are better at making dough.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, well, there we go. So all Sasha actually is verifying this for us. No, but the bottom line is that the temperature in shul can never make more than 30% of the congregation happy at any given time.
Absolutely.
I've done a survey. I mean, yeah, I made, yeah. up num- they made up that
look,
number.
Although but it it's made right. up, it sounds accurate.
You know what? It would sound more accurate if I said 34%.
Yeah.
34% of people are happy with the temperature in the shul
at any given time
because that air conditioning is on and then it's working its poor little heart out and then it switches off because it overheats and it's got to settle and it can be the hottest day and you've got these women arriving with pashminas and coats in anticipation of the air conditioning underneath which they obviously are sitting. Oh, gosh.
And then it's slightly overcrowded and then it gets really hot.
Exactly. Men are never happy because it's too hot in their section. So, yeah, it's not simple. Can you imagine being a chairman?
Well, that's very difficult. But I imagine the chairman of the shul absorb complaints on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that you know, I don't know, it's one of the things about being Jewish is that we love to add prayers. It's like we haven't got enough, and it's like they don't do, you know, so we never take them away. We always keep adding. You know, we can still say something about the crusades that we're remembering every Shabbat morning. We don't lose that one, but we're always adding. So, you know, we're adding for an intelligent government, you know, like that's ever going to happen. And things like that. Oh, I shouldn't say that on Heritage Day. But we're always adding. And so why haven't we ever added a thought and a prayer for the chairman of the shul?
I think because they're generally in the firing line.
That's what I'm saying.
So I think if anybody...
Grant him the wisdom and the patience. We should actually write to chairman.
Grant the wisdom and the patience to answer my complaints.
Exactly. You know what? I think that's a great idea. Maybe our listeners can help us compose a chairman's prayer. You know, and in fact, it's got to be the same.
I think it's very thoughtful of you. Because
whether you're Christian, whether you're Muslim, it's got to be all the same. That poor bloke or woman who's running the church or the mosque or the temple, whatever it is, has got to suffer greatly from the wrath of the community. Shouldn't we include a prayer? And should be a non-denominational prayer that is said in every religious institution across the country.
Just for the wisdom and the patience.
No, for the wisdom of the community and the patience of
maybe the
Job.
Chairman should actually say this prayer.
Right. Exactly. Every service, at least, can't be too long. All right, fine. We're wasting too much time, Graham Shapiro. You got me sidetracked on all sorts of other things.
To be fair, you started it.
I know. Okay, that's fair enough. Time is 4:39. I'm Howard Feldman. We're talking business, and we're talking South African companies that make us proud. So I'm thinking Nando's. Nando's is South African, makes me very, very proud.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking Pick and Pay. I'm thinking Liberty Life. You've got a list, haven't you, in front of you?
I do have a list. I didn't list all of them. But you've got one out of three so far.
Only one out of three. Which was Nando's. Other South African companies that make me proud. Okay, help me out here, Graham Shapiro.
So, obviously Nando's. I mean, yes. Nando's for me is number one. I was, even tell my wife whenever we're going to get takeaways, uh-huh. I said, if you don't make a decision, it's Nando's. So
and you're doing it for the country, aren't you?
Exactly.
Right. Okay, fair enough.
So, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't love Nando's.
Okay.
You know, this is a worldwide brand. I think also whenever an incident happens locally, everybody's waiting for the Nando's ad to come out.
We've come to rely on their marketing genius.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's another reason why we love them. They're cheeky and they're clever and they're an amazing, they make amazing chicken.
Investec is a great South African brand. Discovery is a great South African brand. Absolutely. And they are starting to certainly Investec have penetrated very well overseas.
Well, Investec are in the UK, they're in Australia. Mm. They could be in other places.
Is that on your list?
No.
Oh, I can't get your list. I just can't get this right.
Sorry, Discovery were on my list.
Okay, good.
What I do like about Nando's also is, they're celebrating 30 years. They've been open for 30 years, and they have it's not your competition.
It is.
No, well, you don't know what
Let me read it to you. Okay. Let me read it to you, because, in fact, I've already got some entrances. The entries have been coming through on the show. Here is to you from Nando's, celebrating 30 years of hot chicks in Peri Peri. This year, Nando's is celebrating their 30th birthday, and they want to share it with you. In the spirit of generosity, Nando's will be giving 1 million lucky people the chance to enjoy their classic quarter chicken, single chips, fresh Nando's roll, and 330ml Coke for only 30 Rand during the month of September. Get your favorite Nando's, but hurry, there are only 100 meals per day per restaurant. And by the way, that is including kosher Nando's in Savoy. So, it's not available for call and deliveries, and TNCs apply. That's not the competition. That's just a quick ad for them.
So a friend of mine was telling me, he's always he's trying to get it at the kosher Nando's, mm-hmm. but he says they run out at all the other Nando's, and people who aren't kosher then they come to the kosher Nando's.
Wow! Should that even be allowed?
Well, how do you test them? Say, are you kosher? Yes.
Prove it. How does one prove one's kosher? Yeah, a very difficult one. Okay, sorry. Carry on now.
And another one which you touched on is I can't remember if you did say it. I think you might have, is Discovery.
I did.
Discovery for sure have their critics. Everyone's got something to say about,
because they never recognize my points. Yes,
points are wrong. The points change all the time.
Run for yourself, not for Discovery. Damn it!
But despite whether they do change the rules all the time or not, they're a company who's actually gone out and created a reward system for keeping healthy. So
I think they're brilliant, absolutely.
So
brilliant.
That's the thing. So anybody, any other company around the world who's also making a health program around linked into it to healthcare is copying Discovery. They came up with that innovative idea. Hmm. And one thing that you can also say about Discovery is they're about to open a bank. And I saw a comment where they said they were only ever going to enter into the banking market if they felt they could disrupt it. So I think every other, in life, life insurance, health insurance, in vitality, I think they've disrupted wherever they've gone. And I think what makes them amazing is they haven't launched yet, but I think every bank is nervous. I think every bank is nervous to see what sort of market share Discovery is going to take from them. If you think about Discovery, they've already got how many people, I don't know the stats, I don't know how many people are on Discovery, but everybody who's on Discovery is with another bank. So, and they've already got all, they already know everything about you.
So. Well, that's of course one of the fears that people have is, and I wonder how they're going to counter that, by the way, because already they're involved with all of your health needs. Many people have long-term insurance with them. They're getting involved and they're quite active in the short-term insurance space. They know how you drive, how much you exercise. And now when you add a financial component, a financial institution to it, a banking aspect to it, I think they're going to encounter some form of resistance that they're going to have to find a way of marketing their way through. I'm convinced of it, actually.
Well, I think there's a very great point. Even before they've come out with the bank, I think a lot of people have decided, I don't want to keep everything in one place, despite the fact that there's benefits.
Mm.
You know, I think some people are questioning, and I've questioned it a few times, thinking is, am I getting the superior product in each range, or altogether, does it work well? Mm. You know, or can I, move to a different product where I will get, you know, the best short-term insurance, the best health insurance, and the best life insurance, not necessarily all with Discovery. But I think you're absolutely right there. You know, the financial sort of, you know, it's the one part that people like to keep.
Yes, so you don't want that to be a tipping point.
Yeah.
It'll be very, very interesting to see. Tell us about other South African companies.
So another one is what I believe is for sure Capitec. You know, Capitec have been announced that, you know, they're the best bank in the world.
It's amazing. You know, I hear the name Capitec and I can hear in my brain that doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo thing. It's very interesting that.
Yeah.
That's how powerful their marketing has been.
So, I mean, they're an amazing company. I mean, they are, I checked this out, at December 2016, they were the third biggest bank. Standard Bank was the biggest. Mm-hmm. They've had 11.3 million customers.
Mm-hmm.
At the same date, Absa had 8.8 million and Capitec had 8.3. By June this year, Capitec were up to 9 and Absa had dropped. So Capitec are now the second biggest bank in South Africa. And I think we spoke about it 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think we mentioned Capitec where, you know, that we were questioning, you know, we said that they were bigger than both Nedbank and FNB.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to check that, you know, yes, double check that. So in terms of customers, they're bigger. Whether deposits, different story.
Probably not.
That might be a different story. But in terms of a customer base, they're now the second biggest bank. And like we just said, you know, the best bank in the world.
Are they purely local?
As far as I understand. I'm sure they're the first obvious rollout would be into Africa.
Mm.
You know, with their, and I think their model, you know, overseas there's no bank fees. You can't, so it's very difficult to take a bank fee driven model and apply it to countries where there's no bank fees.
Right.
I mean, I've got a couple of customers who, you know, a couple of clients who have credit card switches as part of their company, you know, and take online payments through credit card. And the one in particular is a franchise of a Canadian company. And there everybody just uses their credit card for everything. There's no issue because there's no credit card fees. Here, people want to pay by EFT because there's no fees and there's obviously credit card fees for everything. So, sorry, I think I got a bit sidetracked there.
With Capitec, moving them. It's a public holiday. Exactly. We're just shooting the breeze, you know. We've got a general conversation that we're going to be having, but, you know, whichever direction it moves in, well, so be it.
Exactly. So like I said, it's a Capitec, you know.
But it's interesting, you know, when I think of something like Pick and Pay, and I think of Nando's, I think of Cape Union Mart, those are kind of very South African in their style, the spa. I don't think of Capitec as that. I just think of them as a bank.
So where I see where your thinking is going, and my sort of thinking of South African companies making us proud is
success is recognized
globally. So as a South African, you know, we can be proud of Nando's because they're around the world, and people in England love Nando's.
Actually, Vida Cafe. I was walking through Regent Street in London, and there was a Vida. And I just went straight there to buy a coffee. I don't think they lasted very long at all. In London, their rent was completely prohibitive.
Well, I mean, there's a number of coffee shops on every corner.
Exactly.
Which aren't Vida.
Exactly.
The problem with Nando's is that no one realizes it's South Africa.
I know. I want to stand outside there and just keep telling people, excuse me, but this is a South African brand.
Especially in England. They think it's England.
Yes, you might have one on every corner in England. Well, not every corner.
It can't be English.
And it certainly sounds Portuguese. Exactly. Yeah, that is true, because yeah, in England, if it was a chicken place, they'd be serving boiled chicken, just exactly. like my late grandmother used to make. She wasn't a very good cook. But right, okay, so you're talking, I'm thinking about sort of the feel-good of South African
brands. For sure there are, you know, another feel-good.
Mrs. Bull's Chutney, yeah, that's a South African brand.
Absolutely, that's as South African as you get. And, you know, you speak about England. I spent about 7 months in England, and there was a particular train station which had a South African shop.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of South African shops all over, but I was working within two offices, and whenever I'd go to the other office, I'd always walk past it, and you'd have Simba chips, you'd have Mrs. Ball's chutney.
Simba chips, of course that's South Africa.
So you'd have, when you walk past these things, you know, as a South African, like, you're right, these brands, you know, warm your heart. The Mrs. Bull's, you know.
I'm trying to think what that. Rooibos tea, definitely.
For sure, rooibos.
When we lived in Israel, we had to. One of my kids only drank rooibos tea, so we had to bring it in by the box load, carton load, which was also, you know, but it's rooibos. And in fact, now in Israel, Wozotsky's tea. Has a brand, has Red Bush.
Oh, really?
Red Bush and vanilla, which is actually rooibos tea they buy from here.
That's amazing.
And they add a flavor to it.
And of course, there's Sasol, which, you know, we have spoken about Sasol before, but from a corporate social responsibility aspect. But I think Sasol is a South African brand, you know, the Amma Gluk Gluk ads, and
yes.
That was Sasol before.
Oh, it's funny. Unsigned WhatsApp just came in, and I was about to say this to you, is Marmite. I mean, it's not something I would have.
Exactly. It's not something I'm proud of.
But South Africans living abroad, you know, that's your best way of testing it. What are the things, what are the companies and the products that South Africans living abroad actually would, you know what, another one I have to tell you is Woolworths food. In general, but Woolworths food is not something that people overseas have access to, and it is such a brilliant product.
Yeah, no, for sure. Woolworths, I mean, I was in Woolworths yesterday, and my wife and I were just saying, if we weren't kosher, we'd probably just buy all our meat, all our chicken, everything.
I saw a whole oxtail thing being advertised on TV last night. I know you can get kosher oxtail, but yeah. it just looked unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, you walk past it, we walked in, it was also a fast, it made it a bit more difficult.
Yeah, you should never go shopping on a fast. Nobody can afford that.
Just smelling this roast chicken, just thinking, well, I couldn't have it anyway.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, Sasol, I mean, is an amazing South African brand. It's actually something interesting from an innovation point of view, is they pioneered manufacturing of a coal to sort of clean diesel process.
Yes.
So
liquid energy.
Yeah, liquid, exactly. Mm. So they've pioneered that. So that actually, I was reading an article about it yesterday. Because you know, while I was sort of researching these companies, that technology was said that will make a country like America non-dependent on
oil.
What's it called? Crude oil. That sort of technology will make them independent.
What about De Beers?
De Beers? You know, De Beers basically, you know, we also mentioned them last week when we were speaking about diamonds.
Mm.
You know, De Beers made diamond standard for engagement rings. You know, when they said the diamonds last forever, are forever. Yeah. So, you know, De Beers, I mean, they're a big company in their own right now on the English Stock Exchange. And they're a massive company, you know. Then there's also, other companies I was thinking of, which I'm fairly proud of in the last week. Now, just to mention a few, you know, you've got Sasfin, another company called Hulasani, and Signia, purely because they've dropped KPMG as their auditors.
Oh, I was wondering
what's going with that.
Where on earth is it going with it?
So I'm quite proud of these companies.
It's going to be a little bit controversial, and I know I want to be proud of those companies, but Do you think that they all dropped them for purely ethical reasons, or are there sometimes other factors and this is just a good thing to do?
So companies have, you know, every company has, or at least large company has, a risk management division.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something, you know, especially if you're a marketing to customers and not to businesses, sorry, to private clients and not to businesses, you have reputational risk. So, you know, being associated with a company like KPMG can tarnish, if they are found to be more guilty than they are, if things happen, then, you know, it can tarnish your reputation. I mean, purely now, other companies, you know, big banks who use KPMG are also considering their relationship. You know, there's Investec, Standard Bank, Growthpoint. You know, they're all reconsidering their relationship purely from a reputational risk point of view. Another thing is because KPMG's name is starting to get tarnished, even what's happening is there's going to now be an independent investigation on all accountants who have been trained by KPMG.
Wow.
So it's going far, and it's going pretty deep. So it might be that, you know, you might release results, audited results, and people are going to see KPMG. And there's going to be a few sniggers, and like there'll be.
In other words, it just KPMG. Completely discredits anything that that might have been done before,
and that becomes a reputation.
So, do you think they can survive KPMG?
I think they can. I think after Arthur Andersen went down, first of all in South Africa,
well, that showed us that anybody can.
Well, for sure, there was that book and movie, Too Big to Fail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the profession in South Africa is going to try as hard as possible for them not to, because it, you know, you've gone from the big five to the big four,
sure,
and now to have three. Also, the thing is, KPMG locally employs 3,500 people.
Wow.
So will all the other audit firms absorb everyone? Funny enough, I think KPMG actually absorbed Arthur Andersen's client.
Yes, they did.
I think they absorbed them.
Gosh.
So I think the profession is really going to try hard to single out the, you know, the few who were unethical, and deal with them, and try sort of protect the company. But I think their reputations, it'll take a while for them to recover.
They're going to have to change their name, in truth. That's what they're going to have to do.
Very, very possibly. It's a global brand also.
I get that, but KPMG South Africa could be a completely different brand, and it's going to have to be.
It could be, and it might be something from a global point of view.
Can you imagine Oak Bay being successful in 3 years' time? You can't.
Yeah.
It's unimaginable.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they have a different company name and they, you know, we're not even sure what they do, that's a different story. Then they might. You just can't stick with the same product. And I wouldn't suggest just willy-nilly that any company changes its name. But if you become synonymous with corruption or with turning a blind eye to corruption, I'm not sure. As an audit firm, I can't see how you can survive within an environment. I just can't see it.
For sure. And I think it's also difficult for, you know, a friend of mine, also a friend of hers who she did articles with, has just become a partner at KPMG, which as at a age, you know, in his early 30s, is a huge, you know, he's stuck it out, and he's toying with the decision, is what do I do?
It's very difficult because you might never have come across these audits, you might have had nothing to do with it at all, and yet you yourself are tarnished. And I think even from a personal career perspective, people are going to have to be very, very cautious and very careful as to how they deal with it. All right, but those are companies we're not proud of.
For sure. Okay. Then there's, you know,
unsigned WhatsApp saying, what about Creepy Crawly?
So that was my mention. I was about to mention Creepy Crawly. And Creepy Crawly, from another point of view, in the space of innovation, is pool cleaners were pioneered in South Africa.
Really?
Yeah. So there was, the first one was, there was a company called Pool Bug Automatic or something, I don't know, in the 60s, and then Creepy Crawly made it automatic, and they so Creepy Crawly designed the automatic.
I had no idea that Creepy Crawly was South African.
For sure. Yeah, creepy crawly.
And that we pioneered the pool cleaner. I'm so proud.
Is that because we have pools? Not that. I guess that is true. Really
you should see my pool today. It's actually more green than my grass. But all right, that's something different.
A quick final thing, that was my feel good story. You know, so there's, you know, Lavazza Coffee, and there's another, the Spa Coffee Shops. It's called Spa Bean Tree.
Okay.
Now, what they have done is they have created, I think it's been going for about a year and a half, 2 years, is a barista program for deaf people. And you also order, the way I understand it is you also order using sign language. So they might, the menu might.
I love that.
So together they've come together and create and made it possible for deaf people to become baristas.
Wow. Where? How do we support this? I want to go and get another cup. I want to get a cup of coffee But will they teach me how to order?
That's the way I understand.
I'm quite classy. I don't want the wrong coffee. It's all very well, you know.
Well, you have to learn
the
how
liberal
to
lefty side of me.
So they only have the menu.
Happy.
They don't have a method of complaining in the sign language.
All right. Well, I might have to wait until they do. Graham Shapiro, awesome conversation with you today. As always, it is 5 o'clock. That was Kickstart 101 with Graham Shapiro. We were talking about South African companies and South African products that make us proud on this Heritage Day. Hope you have a fantastic and meaningful fast, Graham Shapiro.
And you.
I appreciate
that. And I hope
that.
The temperature is... I hope you're one of the 34%.
One of the 34% who find the temperature very pleasant.